Father, I just want to thank you for this time and this moment, Father, that you, Lord, gave the word yesterday, Lord. The Lord, as your servant was speaking yesterday, Lord, you gave that word yesterday, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, I dedicate my mind to you, my heart to you, my flesh to you. Nothing that comes from my mouth and my lips shall come from my flesh or my carnal mind. It shall come from you. Speak, Lord, to your people, your saints, your chosen ones. Lord, give me wisdom, only wisdom, Lord, to manage your people that you have put before me, Lord. We just want to thank you. I thank you and dedicate this time into your hands. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Verse 1 to verse 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, called the twin Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood at the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you had any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast out and cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coal there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat bread first." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Amen. The word of God, the scripture says today, that Jesus Christ was showed himself up only third time now. Only three times. 40 days he was on the land after resurrection, but he only showed himself up to the disciples three times. In the book of Acts, you'll find the fourth time he showed himself up with all the people. More than 500 people. 500 people were there, and he showed themselves up in book of Acts chapter 1. Now, when he showed up the first time, you'll find that he was in a room where everyone was locked up in the room, and nowhere anybody can enter, but Jesus appeared in that room when all the disciples were. The only one person who was not there, there was Thomas the twin, the doubter. Then the next time he came, it was when that Thomas was also inside the room. And this time when he came, he told straight away, "Peace be with you, Thomas, come and put your finger in my wounds here, on my side here, so that you can feel that wound." Because Thomas was a doubter. In fact, throughout the Bible, you'll find from the time, from John 1, from the first chapter until last, you'll find Thomas has been always a doubter. And the others is all you'll find that Peter is a man who comes, robust man. He listens, but he's very robustic. He's a man, he's outburst himself out more than that. But you'll find a time has come, the people who walked with Jesus Christ for 3 years, people had known Jesus Christ, the people were so close to Jesus Christ, and they came to a place at this time, and that the word of God started in chapter 21, verse 1 says, that very clearly, and they were all gathered together, and they named the disciples who were there together. You see, this is the first time you'll find Nathanael's name was mentioned again, and Nathanael's name was mentioned in John chapter 1 first time. Amen. And that's the same man. He says, "You, a fervent, strong Israelite." And now the name is mentioned again in chapter 21. Brothers and sisters, people who know Jesus Christ already come to know him. He walked with him. And yet we can't know who is he. People of God today, that we come to church and we are here in the church, we come every now and then, and they feel that we know Jesus Christ and we sit in the church, it becomes more routine and religiosity takes control of our lives. When it is a routine job, it is religiosity. You understand what I'm saying? When it's routine, when something becomes routine in your life, it becomes religious in your life. You do this, this. But Jesus did not mention that. He was about doing things for the kingdom of God, for his Father, all the time that he was here. He was about doing things. About means he was all the time a happening man. The young people call happening man. Happening. He's happening man. He's all right. Happening man. I want to be associated with this man because he's happening man. So he was happening all the time and he was busy with things. People were attracted to him and he was around him. And these disciples were so close to him. And yet, on the time when he has died and he rose again, two times he appeared to them. And yet, they did not have the freshness or the fire as they had when Jesus was around. Hello? Why? Why? They gathered together. Why they feel? Why do they? They were bored. There was no activity now. Do you understand? When you are bored, when there is no activity, you come to church, you sit down in the streets, and then you come there and finish ready, pastor prays, and you have a prayer need, you come here and the altar call, pastor pray for me, our deacon pray for me, and after that go back home. It becomes a routine that you are coming and sitting and warming the chair and going out every day. When you need a prayer, then when you ask, I'm sorry, today I'm going to be direct in everything of what I'm saying today, because that's what God spoke to me yesterday. So if it is going to be a routine thing, that if your job, if you are some of them, you ask them, Brother Bernard, I'm just using Brother Bernard, I hope you, where is he? Brother Bernard, you know, how would you find them? Pastor, very draggy la. You know, our office was really tough la. You know, this client, that client, ayo. You ask Brother Sound, he will say, ayo, Pastor, the students, ayo, the same la, headmaster again la. You know this, the parents come and complain again. And I've got this to handle. I also have to handle the sports. The same old thing la, Pastor. How do you find in your job? How do you find in the things that you're doing? You become so routine and that so you get so much so, boredom takes control of your life. When boredom takes control, you'll become agitated. Why are people agitated today? Because boredom. You're bored about the things that is happening every day around the same old thing again and again and again. But you're bored inside you. You come to church every day. We come here and we find that I get every time excited when I preach, because wherever I am, when I speak about the word of God, I get excited. The moment I get excited, sometimes the Spirit of God flows so much inside, gives me so much inspiration. Not only inspiration, it gives me so much of light in me. Amen. So the excitement was lost. What was lost? Hello? When you lose excitement of the things that you want to do, that you're supposed to do, you become bored. There are husbands and wives come and bored and say, "Hiya, now this fellow is an old man already, la. He's not like what he was to be, la, la. So boring, la." The wife says, "Huh." And the husband says, "Hiya, she's a woman already, old already, la. So boring, la. Every time the same old thing again, again, and again." People become bored in their marriage life. Why? You do not see the things of each other, but because you want to see, don't get ignite the fire, but you want to see, and you see the things become so routine. Cook the food and eat, he goes to office, come back, or you go to teach and come back, after that, do the same old thing, and you're doing the same old thing, and you become bored. Boredom brings you to darkness. Boredom brings you back to the place where you were before. 3 years of walking with Jesus Christ did not give them an authority power or that same likeness of Jesus Christ's character to go out and do the things what Jesus did. Hello, do you understand? They went and met together. They prayed. You are boring like praying every day. Boring like sitting down and talking again. Boring. This boredom is the problem with all mankind. Why do marriage break? Sometimes it's boredom. Why do people don't go to a church? Because it's boredom. Why don't people want to be associated with somebody else? He's boring lah. Why don't you get married to somebody else? Because, he's good guy, but very boring lah. Very stereotype lah. Very square. I'm yet to see somebody who's square. I've seen people who are oval, but not square. Boring. You have got, everything is boring, boring, boring. I am boring. Because of that, you don't do it. You miss the boat because you're bored. We tend to miss the boat because we are bored. What did Peter say? It's so boring. I'm so tired of getting. Number one, when you're bored, what do? You go back to the things of the darkness. What was his profession before walking around with Jesus Christ? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5 or chapter, Matthew, Luke chapter 5? Fishers of men. What did he say now? I want to go back to fishing. He now is soaked with the things of the past attraction that he had, he was enjoying. Then the 3 years that he walked with Jesus Christ, the intimacy that he had, he forgot about the intimacy Jesus had with him, but now he went back to his old ways. I'm going to fish. What was the time of their going to fish? The word of God says, at night time. Brothers and sisters, when we are bored, the darkness that we were in before will overcome you. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you feel that you come to church now, and every time you come to church and go to church, I'm just religiously, you're doing this a duty because the word of God says, you must assemble. Now, Pastor James and the church here says, you know, the word of God says, hey, do not forsake, Hebrews chapter 10. You know, he says, do not forsake. In 25, he says, do not forsake in the assembly of the saints. So, because he said, now there's a duty for me to assemble today. Is it a duty or is it your heart's desire? Hello? Are you doing it as a duty or is it a heart's desire? If you're doing something as a duty, you'll still be bored. We will be bored. Boredom takes place because of whatever things that you want, you're doing it, making it routine, then it becomes. Every time that you become, every time I come to church, every time I come here, I'm excited because I want to see something different. I want to see something God's work differently. If you want to see something God and looking with an expectation, the word of God says that when you come with an expectation to God, that the one who has got abundance will pour out his abundance to you. When you don't have that expectation, you become bored. Miracles do not work in our life because you're bored. Miracles become so stale because now for you, it is in the past. Only when Jesus Christ was with me, the time when I walked with him, the time there was miracles, there was excitement. Now no more already. See, now no more crowds following me now. Jesus Christ, when he was around, thousands of people, millions were following him. And they were, the disciples were all excited. Apostles, wow, see, I'm part of this. But I warn you, the fire is going to come back again. Better get it warm up. Get a warm up. Church, I want to speak to the Amazing Grace Church. I'm not worried about those who are coming up from other places. Either you get up and buck up or go to the sidelines. Two things, two choice. Your only choice, two choice. Eve has got two choice. Not to eat the fruit or to eat the fruit. The choice is yours. It's not God's choice. If somebody is forcing you to come and worship here today, then it's not your choice. I'd rather have no worshippers than somebody feel they're forced to do worshipping. Do you follow what I'm saying? It should be a heart's desire that I want to serve. Only then you'll find the light inside you, the excitement inside you. And there's people, and this group of people, of the disciples, the apostles, what they did was, the leader of it, the leader among all of them, he shouted, I'm going for my excitement. My excitement was my former things in darkness. He went out in dark form. In darkness, he went into the sea, Galilee, to catch fish. See, when you go in darkness, the sea is also is dark. When there's no light, it's dark. And especially where Galilee is, where you, those of you have been there, you'll find it's not a bluish color kind of ocean. It's a bit dark. Even the water is a bit dark. You know why? Because it's a big, huge lake. Water comes in, little bit of water goes out to Jordan side. Right? Somehow or other they restrict the water, it becomes dark, it's still there. So when you go into water which is a bit dark, in darkness, I mean to say, death can prevail you. Because you don't know what's around you. You do not know in darkness what is around you. You don't know where the boat is going. You don't know whether you see the boat that's got a small rock out there or not, where the boat is going to hit the rock. You do not know. When you get back to the old ways of our life and be bored because of boredom, we go back and attracted to the things of the world, of the past. you would not be able to understand. The scripture says they were entering into the sea at dark time. And Galilee is a dark water. It's not Black Sea, but it's dark. Even daytime you'll find it's not blue color, but it's somewhere else, it's a different grayish color. If it's dark at night, it's going to be pitch dark. In darkness, you cannot find something. You cannot see the obstacles that's before you. So you're going into a place of death. When you feel bored, you go back to the thing of the past that you did attracts you. But now, this time when you go back, there is death prevailing. When I say death, it's not only death in your physical form that you'll die and go off. No. Death means your things that you've been receiving, supposed to receive, now is not stopped. Do you understand what I'm saying? What you're supposed to receive, you were in the light, and now you go into darkness, and you see that you are not receiving the things. Now you go a little bit again, what you were before, you're blinded. For 3 years, they were used to the light. Jesus Christ, the light, was around them. Now they go back to darkness. When you go into from light to darkness, what happens to your eyes? Blinds itself. Because there's a change of light to darkness. When there is a change, suddenly you go into a dark room, suddenly you find, whoa, although it's not pitch dark, you'll find as if it's pitch dark, as you've lost your senses. So when you go to a dark place, when you go back to the times when you got bored, you lose your senses. When you lose your senses, then fear takes control of our lives, which is not from God. Everything that happens in darkness is all those which is not from God. Everything can say, spread of death, everything else will come in darkness, is not from God. Many of us, brothers and sisters, are in church. When we are in church, we come and we find it's duty. I'm excited about receiving Jesus Christ. My duty is done first. The next thing is now to attend what Jesus said. Come and assemble together. As long as I come here and clock in and clock out. Although there is no clock in, clock out cards there. But you clock in to Jesus Christ and clock out of Jesus Christ on Sunday. And not doing it, you'll become bored. The overcoming effects of the world is so great now. As I said the other day, as I was flying from Miri, after this little brother who put me onto the Miri flight, got me the ticket and put me on the Miri flight, from Miri to Cebu, as I went up, and I found that the beauty of God was overwhelmed with a little bit of dark clouds coming around, moving very fast. They might look small, but they will overwhelm you. Darkness can overwhelm us. So we must be careful now. Even church, I'm pastor, you know what? I'm a Christian, lah. You should be talking this to a non-Christian. I'm telling it to a Christian. God is telling me too about the same thing. If I were to take this thing, God has given to me as a routine, then I would struggle in my life. It's not routine. There is something new every day that God gives me. The word of God in Lamentation says that He is new every day. His dues are new every day. Unless we believe that dues are new every day, then we surely will have not have anything. The dues only come in the morning. Hello? The dues only come in the morning. It doesn't come in the afternoon, noontime and the evening time. It comes in the early mornings. So that night, whole night, the apostles struggled to catch a fish. They have not got fish. Because Peter himself went back to his old ways. He even opened his garments and sat down there. Probably was naked. He went back to his nudity he was before. When Jesus has clothed him with a garment of light and righteousness. Jesus clothed him with the light and his righteousness with the clothing. Now he took off the garments and went back to his nudity back again without a garment. Do you follow what I'm saying? What the scripture is talking to us today? So when you go there, you have to do something in your life. So the whole night without that light, he was struggling. Cannot get one fish. And you know, even his senses, he didn't remember the first time the Lord blessed him. In his senses, can't even remember the things that he experienced with Jesus Christ. He could not remember the things because darkness overwhelmed him so much that the things of God, it became so little in his life. When our life becomes so overwhelmed with the things of the world, you become so little in Christ Jesus. You become diminishing. The memories of the good things God has done for you, you'll just forget about it. It becomes so light. At that point of time when you needed Him most, you were the best. And you were the best attire. You were the best person with a broken heart, broken spirit. But now you have already been received. You received what you needed. Now you tend to forget it. Jesus blessed Peter in Luke chapter 5 much more than what He blessed this time. That was the greatest catch ever before. And yet He doesn't remember. He doesn't remember that He walked on water at night. Hello? He walked on water at night, not daytime. Go back and check the scripture. Jesus called Him at night and said, come, it's I, come walk on the water. Lord, if it is You, tell me, ask me to come and I'll walk on water with You. He had that experience of walking on water. He can't remember now. How many of us here can't remember what Jesus done for us? How many of us still today remember and testify what Jesus done for us? Sometimes you might find me repeating some of my testimonies. It doesn't matter to me. But every time I say about it, I find the joy of the Lord in my heart. The joy of the Lord. My recent trip to Sydney, I think I've spoken to many people there about my life. I don't care what they think. The pastors who gathered to meet up with me in Parramatta, I did tell them what my life was about. It's better to be fruit. It's because people will get bored in life and in the church. They get bored because they don't know what to do. There are churches being sold off today. It's heartbreaking in Parramatta that you find a church, beautiful church called St. Andrew's, sold off. And now it's serving as a pub and an eatery. Do not laugh, sisters. I was crying. Totally, I was crying. The pastor will come here in March. He'll tell you what happened to me when I heard that. And he told me that church, St. Joseph's, is now going to be sold. It's on for sale. Why? It's because of this boredom of people, of God, that they go out. Sad. A university of Christians. I don't know what cross is that. I can't recall the name. It's something to cross. Also in Parramatta. Sold off. And you know what happened? Who was bought over? A training ground for Muslims. A huge university. When I asked the pastor, we didn't know we are selling to these people. We are becoming what we've said in my message one time. We will bear children like Lot had his own daughter and had the daughter that night had slept with the father and they had two enemies for their own, their lifetime. Throughout their lifetime, they had two enemies of Israelites. Both the daughters had one child and the other daughter had one child. And both of them, they are both the product of that night in darkness, became enemy for the Israelites throughout their lifetime. In England, it's happening. When I shared it with our deacon, the deacon said, Pastor, it's happening now in Singapore. Why? Because people don't get the light, don't get excited about Jesus Christ. It's sad. It's really sad. And some of them have the cheeks to come and do something in front there. Somebody behave like a pastor, come and trying to bless and take a beautiful picture of the church in front. It's mentioned St. Andrew's. St. Andrew's pub now. It really breaks our heart. How much more would our Lord be burst for what He has done for us? How much more would He be now crying for what He has done for us? If you are a father, if you are a mother, you have brought up your children, and you see the last days, they just tend to go against you. Everything they do, which I saw in Sydney the other day. All the father had to do was work his life for the children. And the children now just grabbed out of everything else, out of him, strip him of everything else, and probably leaving him with nothing. How would you feel? How would Jesus Christ feel? I want you to convict your heart. In the time of boredom, because now we do not want to find something in our life that we want to excite ourselves in churches and the places of worship, that we find our boredom and we go back to the old ways. Old ways will never bring right. In the morning, when the word of God says, in the dawn, in the break of the day, in the break of the day, Jesus stood at the shore. At the shore of Galilee, he stood, the word of God says. As he stood at the door, at the shore of when he says morning, in the break of morning in Israel, when he says break of morning, it's already bright. There is already brightness. Probably that was about 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning. Assuming it's 4:30 in the morning. The whole night in darkness they went, nothing they got. And now early in the morning, Jesus standing at the side. When even as he's standing in the light, and the people who are used to darkness that night can't even recognize who Jesus is. How many of us go outside of the church and we don't recognize Jesus? We tend to talk about mythology, numerology, astrology, feng shui. I don't know whatever shui you have. Pastor, you know what? This is what I did. I went and saw this. This one, they realigned my house. This mirror here today, when they told me, my heart was breaking. It's a Christian. They realigned my mirror in front of my house and everything, my water flow in my house. I don't know what water flow into the house. The water flow now, I'm blessed now. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let us remain in Christ. Have our faith in Christ. Believe in Christ, in His wisdom, in His goodness, and His power. In His wisdom, in His goodness, and His power. I can speak in conviction because I've seen people with so many other things. They come here and yet they were delivered out of whatever they believed they was. He's above all. He's above all. He's above all. And he stood at the shore and they can't even recognize him. 3 years they walked with him. Probably this is the third week that he is seeing them. The third week after his death. Third time he's probably seeing them. Can you just imagine they can't recognize him? Standing at the shore. And he shouts them, children! Nobody calls anyone children. Only Jesus called them. You're my disciples. You're my sons. You're my daughter. And he called them, children, have you got anything else? None we have got. Cast your net on the right hand side and you will find something. When they cast the net at right hand side, they found the net. It's only then John, it is not mentioned as John, he says, the disciple who loves Jesus Christ most, he calls himself to love more than anybody else because he always leans onto Jesus' bosom. And he says now, it's the Lord. One thing that Peter did was good. In his excitement, that he is only Jesus can give him excitement. Now he remembers the garment he has got to put back. He put back his garment. And he now, with that garment, he went around swimming back to Jesus Christ. We have to now come back to Jesus Christ. We have to come back to Jesus Christ. We have to find that excitement again. We have to find that excitement. Day by day, we have to renew our excitement. If we don't renew our excitement, we will go dragged away in the world. We will be dragged away. When I ask you sometimes, you don't have to memorize the whole Bible. Some word which is really so good that touches your heart and keeps you to so close to Jesus Christ. Take that one and keep it in your spirit, man. And say, that is my Shema word. You ask me personally, you would have seen my call card. You know, it says that behind me it says 2911. Why? I have a plan for you. Because my plans were all wrong. My plans were wrong. But his plan was right. He said, I have a plan for you. Not to destroy you. Not to harm you. But to give you. Oh. To give you blessings. To prosper you. To prosper you. To shalom you. To give you shalom. And also to give you a hope and a future. That's my Shema word. Every time I'm down, I can go back to that word and say, God, you said you have the plan. I don't have the plans. I don't know what's your plan. But you have the plan. But lay down. I'm going through some struggles now. Can you lay down with me? Lord, lay down with me. And he said he gave me shalom. There are weaknesses in my body. I still think of the old things of my life. The urges of my flesh. The urges of my eyes.
Lord, take it away. You've called me, take it away. You give me a fresh life, take it away. We cannot get excitement if we know how to do it. We have to excite back our life. That's my Shema word. You said he gave me shalom. Bring me back to what I was supposed to be originally at the time of Adam. Bring me back to that. That I'll be faultless. I'll be without any weaknesses. Bring me back, Lord. Only you can do. Today we read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 23. You'll find that he says that by his flesh, he's given boldness. And I can stand before him because of the blood of Jesus Christ and his flesh. His boldness given to us that nobody else can give. Not by coming, seeing Pastor James. Pastor James, no, after talking to you, I better. No. You will find that boldness in Christ's blood and in his flesh. Amen. You will find that boldness and the good life in Christ's blood and his flesh. Not in somebody talking to you. Maybe they just become the voice box for them for a while to chat with you. But it should trigger in our heart. So it doesn't become a routine. So every time you're routine to go and see somebody else when you've got a problem, it's like seeing a psychologist every time you've got a problem with. You don't have to. Ignite yourself. That's what this church is all about. To ignite people so that they will be able to work in the spirit. And they will be able to ignite somebody else. Be the discipler to disciple. In order to become a discipler, you must ignite yourself. Ignite. When the ignition is done, engine cannot be stopped. You'll carry somebody else in your car. And you ignite them. How excited you are driving the beautiful car. Somebody also say, I also want to buy the same car. Right? Ignite somebody. Unless I talk to you in worldly ways, you can't understand what I'm saying. Ignite somebody. So that you will be the light for the others. When Peter swam and came back to the shores, he touched the Lord. What do you think he would have done? And the word of God says the others were in the boat. They were carrying, they were pulling. They were not very far away. They brought the boat and slowly they came to the shore. When he came, what did he see Jesus doing? What did he see Jesus doing? Jesus already has got a fire. Jesus already got bread on the top of the fire. Jesus already got a fish there. Oh, how did he get the fish? Can you just imagine? How did he get a fish without any fish? Net or a fish line, fishing line? How did he get a fish? How did he have that breakfast in the morning for you? And when they came, what did he say? Have you caught? Bring some from what you have caught, guys. So they brought the fish and brought, and he begged for them breakfast. Brothers and sisters, it's about ourselves. It's about ourselves in our lives as Christians. Ourselves, we are ignited with Christ Jesus. We do not lose that fire of Christ. When you do not lose the fire of Christ and you serve something, you're busy with doing something, you'll have that ignition all the time. We must be busy doing the things of God too at times, all the time. He cannot lay aside and say, now I can't do things, you know, because I'm not worthy. He's made you worthy. You cannot come and tell me, Pastor, I don't have time. That is 24 hours of time. I did mention to you, I stayed with somebody in Auckland, and that person, she has to get up early in the morning to cook for the children, to cook for the husband, and then she starts praying. The husband gets up and joins with her, praying in the morning. And then after that, they get the children up and they do whatever the children done and get the books all ready, and they were young children, and they get them out in the school. They have got a routine, but yet she did not miss that early hour of prayers. Amen? Amen? So time is not in the hands of somebody else. Time is in the hands of your hands. Amen? You cannot come and say, no, I am now working for somebody. From 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock and evening 6 o'clock, I have to start working somebody else. Pastor, you don't understand. I have to move from my house at 5 o'clock. But are you talking to somebody while you're moving out from the 5 o'clock of the house? You can talk to God. He had already made breakfast for these apostles and they brought. Number one, I will find people here are not doing things for God yet. That is why we feel the bottom. When you start doing something, little things for God, then you'll find that connection with God. And you'll find the connection that you can do for God. Whether it be at your working place, at your home, or even at a church when you come on Sundays, or even on 2 days we have, you know, 2 times when we ask you to come, that's on Tuesday and also on Friday. We used to have 3 days, Bible study by itself. But we combined it for a while to say 2 days. A commitment of time of half an hour or 1 hour. For you to get here is another half an hour. To go out from here, another half an hour. Twice a week. And on Sunday, you can come and join up on morning and we can have a feast here. It all depends on your hands. It's not in the pastor's hands. It's not in Jesus Christ's hand. Jesus is never changing. He's always the same. He's just waiting for you here every Sunday and seeing what you can do for Him. And in little ways you can do. It's not about preaching. It's not about doing something for God, coming and standing and preaching. It's about doing something like Sister Anita did this morning. I'm not glorifying her. I'm just giving an example. Do you get me what I'm saying? She came, she saw nothing. She was not here. She waited for a while longer and nobody was here. She did what she used to do. Of course, not all, but at least she did something that what the other person used to do. So being able to do something for God ignites your love for Him. Breakfast with Him. What is this breakfast He talks about? In the breakfast, the whole night that the apostles toiled, they did not get a fish. They realized in John chapter 5, I think 5, he talks about, chapter 15, he talks about, you know, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Hello? They went and tried everything on the night on their own without Jesus Christ. And I believe Jesus was still standing there and watching them. Whole night He was watching them whether they can come back and see, realize that ignite Him. He was standing there probably at the shore from the night and waiting for them. And the morning came. He even called out. Now since you did not see me at night, I can see you now. In morning you cannot see me. I call you out. He gave a voice to the persons. And they heard Him. Still did not recognize. Only after a miracle they recognized who is He. Are we going to recognize Jesus Christ after a miracle or before a miracle? Do we have to have a miracle before we believe in Christ Jesus? Are we Christians who believe in Christ Jesus by faith and say, yes, He is the Son of God? Like Peter said, who are the people saying about me? They say, some of them say, you are Elijah, you are this and you are... But what do you say? You are the Son of God. We have believed in Him, a Son of God, 100%. Do we have to now to have a miracle immediately? Do I have to believe Him? What is the difference between you and I if we wait for within us and the people of the days when Jesus was around? The Pharisees? Wait for a miracle to believe Jesus Christ? We don't have to. His death and resurrection is a great miracle, a testimony that we should always hold out to Him. His resurrection is the great testimony for us. It's the resurrection power that He has passed on to us. It's that resurrection power that moves us, motivates us. 3 times the apostles saw Him and they didn't see and didn't feel. Jesus has risen and He's alive. He has to show 3 times Himself. Then they are excited. Only after a miracle. If there was no miracle, would they have believed Him? Would they would have believed Him? I do not know. I can't answer that question. But I can ask you a question that you can answer. Are you still waiting for a miracle to believe in Christ Jesus? Steadfast. Believe in Him. Have faith in Him. Totally in His wisdom. Totally in his power and His goodness. Without a miracle, we should have that total trust in Jesus Christ. If we have that total trust in Him, we know our life will be at the right place. It doesn't matter what happens around me, but I know for sure that around you, God's protection will be there. I believe that whole night, Jesus was standing at the shore and looking at His people.
I believe in my heart, and I know, when I read the scripture again and again before this message this morning, I know, Lord, you waited for them. You stood there the whole night, making sure no harm came upon them, although they were in the darkness, because you loved them so much. Though they have forgotten him, he still loved them so much. And he still provided a miracle for them, so they can come back to him. Do we have to return to God only after a miracle? Do we marry our spouse when our spouse say, I will die for you, I'll now die for you, now I kill myself, die for you, only then you get married to the person? You believe your spouse, you believe in the person, spouse, she will stand or he will stand with me, the good times, bad times, till we depart. That's the belief you have. That's the covenant Jesus is looking for us. That's the covenant Jesus is looking for us this morning. Because if you want to have that covenant, you don't have that covenant, swim back to Jesus Christ today. Swim back to him. Wear the garments back again of boldness and say, yes, Lord, that boldness you've given me by your blood, by your flesh, I am now well. And I can come to you in boldness because you made me holy. I'm repentant, Lord, of what I've done before. I've run away. I'm repentant, Lord, I'm not able to help something in the church. I'm not able to do some ministry, something that you want me to do. I can help the poor. Tell me what, Lord, to do. So that I can be ignited. I want to be connected with you. And I know when I am with the people, when I am with the people of yours, and I know you will still miracle, give me a lot of miracles in my life. You'll ignite my fire, your fire on, into my heart, and I'll be on fire for you, Lord. Unless I'm with the people of God. Doing the things that Jesus wants us to do. When they were all together, 12 apostles, they were doing the things that Jesus wanted them to do. And they were all excited about it. Amen. And the morning breakfast, without even a catch, Jesus himself provided for the providence. Do you understand? Jesus provided the providence. Even the miracle that he gave on the sea for them, he provided, not them. And the breakfast was ready for them. It happened in the early hour in the morning, when the sun rose. The first thing he saw was to see Jesus Christ. The day when you see Jesus Christ in the morning and meet up with him, have breakfast with him, you cannot find the day of yours be fulfilled. Your day will be fulfilled. You'll be energized again in physically. God will provide for you your physical, all the needs of your family, everything that you need around. He will give it to you if you meet him in the morning for breakfast. No, Lord, I can't get up. Whatever time you get up, you can still meet him for breakfast. It's that breakfast hour God is looking for. That is when the dew comes from the right, from the sky, from heavens, the dew will come. Fresh dew will come. Whatever weariness we had that night, whatever clouds were there, whatever dirt was there the whole night, the new dew comes and suppresses it, and you'll have fresh life. God is giving us fresh life every day. God gives us a fresh life. Unless we meet him this morning. Unless we want to meet up with him. Not necessarily must come to church. You meet up with him every day morning, and there's something God will give it to you. Something God will give it to you. Brothers and sisters, the breakfast is a heavy breakfast. A breakfast means something that gives you refreshment, that comes, gives you strength for the whole day to run. They said, the worldly people say, you know, when you have a breakfast, it must have a heavy breakfast so that the whole day it gives you energy. It's not about a lunch, it's not about dinner. The heavy breakfast is important. Somebody found that, I don't know who is that, I can't find who is that. But I know somebody has said that whoever the person has came up with it says, morning breakfast is the most important thing in your life. If without a good breakfast, you cannot carry on with the day. A good breakfast is important. The good breakfast with Jesus Christ is the most important thing. That will carry you through for the whole day. That will see you through for the whole day. Even in dryness and goodness and badness, whatever it comes on the day, whether sun or shine, it will be still there with you because the breakfast is enough to run you the whole day. The breakfast of intimacy with him. The breakfast that he provides. The breakfast that he provides for us can carry us the whole day. People get tired. People get bored. Because why? It becomes routine in our life. They come. If we don't have that energy from Jesus Christ, we can't be there. Without Jesus Christ, they could not do anything that night. He was not a partner in their catching of the fish. Hello? He was not a partner in the catching of the fish that night. He was stood at the shore, watch over the morning. But when morning came, he became the partner. Partner because not because that they invited him, but he invited them back for that breakfast. Some of us could be weary in our life. We could have gone away. We could have been tired. We could have felt that no, pastor is not right. The leadership in his church is not right. That is not right. What is not right? It's not about the leadership. It's about your life, your heart with Christ. I can be bad, but you can be good in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? A Christian life is not about who the other person is. It's about being good in Christ Jesus. That your light can shine brighter, that give me realization to come back to goodness. Amen? Amen? So it's not about somebody, it's about yourself. Without Jesus Christ being a partner, we cannot produce any kind of fruits. The morning breakfast gives us a stamina. We can be fruitful for the whole day. God is inviting us back again. These are the days. And this brother this morning, I shared with him about a testimony of this man, Rabbi, forgot his name, Isaac Kanduri. And I remember telling you all, go back to YouTube and find out what about him. He wrote and he said, I personally met, I had a vision, I had a visitation of the Messiah. And the Messiah came and visited me and spoke to me. And I revealed the name of the Messiah. And he wrote in a letter, the question is why didn't he write when he was still alive? He wrote the letter and told him to keep it. And he said, after 1 year, you open it. They opened that letter and they found out, he said, the name of the Messiah is Jesus Christ, Yeshua or Yeshua. And he said another sentence before that. Jesus' second coming, he said, is immediately after, very soon after the death of Ariel Sharon. It's already about few years now, Ariel Sharon is still in coma. Brothers and sisters, does it shake you? Does it shake you? But as the Lord spoke to me from Miri to Cebu, then that flight, in the short flight, He's telling me He's going to shake many things within these 4 years. Are we getting it ready? Or are we going to be backsliding? He's calling us back. Calling us back to where we were supposed to be. He's calling us back to where we are supposed to be doing the things that we ought to do. He's calling us back to the power that He has given to us. He's calling back us to the authority that He's given to us. He's calling us back to the things that He asks us to dominate and dominate. He is calling us back into His kingdom so that the kingdom can be expanded. His kingdom will reign. His kingdom shall reign. In His kingdom, when He reigns, He needs the people and the kings around to somehow or other to manage the kingdoms. His kingdom will reign in the last days. He needs people to now to become good stewards, to become good kings. Whether male or female, you are still kings. And God is asking us to come back these days. To be restoration, to back to the restoration where God has called us to be. We cannot, in these days, say, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. There are people who are really going off from the Lord so many days. Every day, there are people going off from the Lord. If I have time, I'll ask Brother Stone to give you all a testimony. What is happening there in Sarawak? How people are there. The government is doing something. People are caught. He's a Sabahan, but he's now in Sarawak, working for Sarawak. Because he sees the light. There's something that will happen. Something will happen very soon. And I want to be part of it. I don't know about you. You want to be? Get into the boat. And Jesus is in the boat.
Jesus' first call is for Peter to say that you shall be fishers of men. He has now forsaken that being the fishers of men. He has forsaken, he says, on this rock, on this faith that you have, that I am the Son of God. I am the Son of the living God. And in that faith that you have, I will build my church. He has forgotten what Jesus has given to him. Have you forgotten what Jesus has given to you? Have you forgotten what Jesus has given to you? Mandate? The mandate Jesus has given to us? Those of you who were there in yesterday, you could have seen, go, Matthew, make disciples of the nations. He didn't say, pastor, go, or evangelist, go. He said, who? Go. Mark chapter 16, what does it say? Some of you read yesterday. What shall be? All authority given to you? Yeah? What did he say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature who believes he is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe in me. Believe in me. In my name, they shall cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They will recover. The calling, the mandate that God has given to all of us is that every one of us can do. That is why today people are still sick and everything else outside. Our Christians are still being standing as what they are. They are still in the darkness standing looking for the fish. And we're so busy fishing, which you can't get what you want to get. Man can never be satisfied. The day break, normally all fishermen come back. They were still at the sea. No fisherman stays in the morning. They know they have to come back again. They were not in the shore. They were still in the sea. They're busy looking for the things. They're so busy that they do not see Jesus Christ outside. They forgot the mandate. Peter himself forgot the mandate. You'll see there is one man who pulled that net. He says, bring something from what you've got. The word of God says, Peter went and pulled all the fish. And the fish, the net did not break from the boat. Can you read the scripture there? What I read just now? He pulled from the boat. When Jesus said, go and bring some. First person who reached Jesus Christ was Peter. And he said, go and get the fish and bring it of what you caught. He didn't bring some, but he pulled the whole net. This old man had the strength to pull the whole net. And he brought the net to Jesus Christ. But the breakfast was already ready. Why did Jesus ask him to bring the breakfast? Funny, isn't it? Huh? Jesus has already got fish. He's already got the bread. Why he doesn't need another fish some more? Brothers and sisters, this is the only thing that you'll find in the fourth thing I want to talk to you about today. This is the only way in the Bible it talks about 153 fishes. There's no way in the Bible it talks about any other things. The number of fishes is mentioned here. 153 fishes. He was pulling great number of fishes. 153 fishes he was pulling on his shoulder and brought to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave him mandate, you shall become fishers of men. Now he's pulling 153. What is the significance of 153 means? The number. In Hebrew and also in Greek, it says, at the time of Jesus Christ, the species number of the fishes in the world, at that time, at that world, was only 153. There were only 150 types of species of fishes at that time, in that part of the world. What did he say? What did I say just now? 153. The man who did the research to find out why in Hebrew, why did he say that is his name? I can't pronounce his name. He's Harmonius. Harmonius did a research and he found out that there were only 153 fishes at the time in Hebrew and also in Greek language. The species. So today, his significance of bringing that 153 fishes on his shoulder and pulling them to Jesus Christ is to say, you become the fishes of man of all tribes in the world. Hello? What was the mandate? All the types of people in the world, all the tribes, will come to know Jesus Christ because the good news will be preached to the 153 fishes. You and I have got a mandate. Go to the nations.
before going to the nations, you must be discipled. Before going to the nations, you must walk with Jesus Christ. Before going and pulling no, having the strength of pulling all the 153 fishes, all the tribes of the different nations in the world, you must have that strength. The boldness is given. The strength is needed. The strength is dependent on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You cannot get strength anywhere else except for the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Amen? The Word of God and the Spirit of God is the strength. Unless you soak yourself in the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you will not know. I'm not asking you to become memory of all the words. But you know. What would you speak to somebody to bring him to the Lord? I want to go back again. 153 species. You can go back. I don't know where it's a book. There's a book which says that research of the tribes of fishes at the time. 153 signifies the entire fishes. If it is that so, all the tribes in the world will come to know the Lord. That is why in Psalms you'll find, especially 67, it says, all nations will praise you, Lord. All peoples. He didn't say people. Peoples will praise you. I don't know what kind of grammar they had, but it's all peoples will praise you, Lord. It's a Greek, it's a Hebrew word. All peoples will praise you, Lord. He didn't say some people. All peoples on earth will praise God. All the nations will praise God. The day is coming. Are you part of the day? The day of the Lord is coming again. Are we part of the day of the Lord? Some of us are excited that this man can fly down all the way here just to find out what we can do together. He's supposed to attend a seminar. I said, no, Pastor, I want to be here today. I want to see what you spoke in, what the Lord spoke, not me spoke. What I spoke with them in the time of Miri, he wants to find out more. The excitement is because not because we are important, but the Lord is important. The Lord is very important this time. So we have to be excited that we don't mind doing the things extraordinarily with an ordinary heart of repentance, of humility. We can do great exploits if we humble ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today, let's have breakfast with Jesus Christ. Having breakfast with Jesus Christ is to be with the Jesus Christ, to get the strength from him in the morning. The devotion time in the morning. The devotion is very important in the morning. That is why when we had the devotion morning in this church, we have devotion. People say, this group of fellows, the insane fellows, man. Saturday is a good day, it's off day for me. Like, I will sleep until 9 o'clock. These guys are getting here at 5 o'clock, 5:30. Crazy fellas. It's okay. Only the crazy people can do crazy things. God will use the crazy people to use them to do the crazy things which the world does not believe. Even the kings, you'll find, Elisha had to anoint somebody. That Elisha gave to one man, unknown man, he's like a madman. You go back and read Kings. He said, go and anoint this man as a king. And when you go inside, look at him, he'll be with his hounding, sitting down with all the generals, all his friends, and he sits down. I want you to go and find out two kings. And then you'll see that when he sits down, you go inside, you just call him into the room privately, go inside and talk to him that you are now anointed as the king of Israel, and I anoint you, pour olive oil, and run out from there. And when he ran out from there, he came out from the room, and his friends are, who is this guy? What did he tell you? What did this crazy guy tell you? Hello? The word used there is, what did the crazy guy tell you? What did the mad guy tell you? But the mad guy had power. He had got anointing. That he was able to now anoint somebody a king and run off. I want you to go back and search. It's good for you to search today. That if you find that word, the madman was used by God to anoint a king that he brought down Jezebel. You know the most powerful power woman at that time, Ahab's time? Jezebel. She was brought down by this madman. This madman anointed somebody as a king, and this king rose up and he became a king, and he brought down everybody else who was animosity with God. Would you like to have that power? Either you are the king to go and bring down, or at least you'll be the madman to go and anoint somebody. I don't mind anointing somebody else. He can run. Doesn't matter.
as long as I'm used by God for something. As long as I'm used for God for something. Little or small or big, doesn't matter. The world can call you crazy. But you're not crazy before the eyes of God. Amen. So let's have breakfast with God, Jesus Christ. Ask for His anointing. Ask for His power. Ask for His kingly anointing. Ask for His lordship to give you that power. Ask you to reignite. Ask Him to reignite this morning. So when the apostles came, all the apostles mentioned the time, including John, came to him. They had breakfast with him. They were re-energized back again. And this time, they know, I don't know how many times did they have connected with Jesus Christ. But they knew they went back to Jerusalem. No longer were they in Galilee now. This time they were not in Galilee. They went back to fishing in Galilee. They went back to Jerusalem. Book of Acts chapter 1 says that Jesus, before he ascended, he met them in Galilee, in Jerusalem, not in Galilee. Hello, there must be a correspondence after that. After the igniting of the spirit of man who was died down. In the fourth week now, we see them rise up, waiting for Jesus Christ. As they assembled at the mountain for Jesus Christ to ascend in chapter 1. Not only did the apostles come, there were 500 people at a time there up there. 500 people. Chapter 1 verse 4 onwards. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. And John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and not many days from now. So they had now communicated with Jesus Christ. They went back from Galilee now to... Now, when you are not excited, you'll find the verse here, down at chapter 21... You go down further. Jesus restores first five onwards. And after that he'll say, follow me. And then you go down. He said this. If I will that... He remained with till I come. What is that rod? He told John that he will remain at a time to see the things that God has given to him. For John was the only man at the time was able to remain to go to Patmos to see the revelation of God. To get a revelation of God, we must now be ignited with God. Hello? The problem with all of us is that we are not excited because we don't get a revelation from God. How to get revelation? Unless you get connected back again. Unless we get excited back again with Him. Unless we do something, we connected and be excited every morning, we have breakfast with Him. Then only then we can have revelation. We can't have revelation of the day if we don't see Him in the morning. Amen. Let's today morning ask the Lord. And ask the Lord, Lord, as you have given us today morning, that you excite us today morning. Excite us today morning. I want to come back. I want to swim back to you. I want to put back the boldness. I want to put back the things that you've given to me. I want to come back to you today. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God. Even this morning, Lord. We might not be doing things in this church. Lord, we commit ourselves from now on, Lord. That will keep connection with you by doing something for you, Lord. When we are active, we don't get bored. When we become religious, we will get bored, Lord. Help us not to be religious, but to be active in your spirit. Oh Lord Jesus, this morning your breakfast, your nourishment for us is to stay awake. To be alert. To be that watchman. To be that apostolic anointing. To be that prophetic anointing that this church carries, Lord. That as I come under this anointing, and I pray, Lord, I will do the great exploits you say you have done, Lord. That what you say, I will do. Lord Jesus, I want to meet you face to face. I want your face to shine upon me. And as I have breakfast with you, let your face shine upon me. Like a sun shining upon my face. That the Lord, that the glory of yours will settle down on me. And Lord, as you sanctify me in my body, in my soul, and I claim, Lord Jesus, your spirit will kindle my spirit. And give that excitement. Ignite that fire every day in me. Not only one day, but let that fire, Lord, go on every day, Lord. That igniting, Lord, will go forth for many, 1,000 years, Father. As long as I live in this earth. And I pray, Lord,
I will have that kingly anointing, that priestly anointing. And I claim, Lord Jesus, your chosen people. We are a chosen people. And we claim that chosen people, Lord, do not behave unchosen people like. We will be a chosen people. We will walk with you. As a chosen person, we will walk with you in discipleship with you, Lord. Even, Lord, as I am discipled, whether in by church members here, and I claim, Lord Jesus, that I will be, Lord, faithful to know in this walk of discipleship, to know you, Lord. Only you. Not the character of the person who disciples me, but about your character, Lord Jesus. It's about you, Lord Jesus, today. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's about you. Lord, even this morning, Lord, as we come before you, we bow down before you, knowing that you'll give us that crown in the last day. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be the good steward in things that you've given us. To do it with joy, love. And Lord, we do it unto you, Lord Jesus, not unto men. As we do it unto the man, we'll do it unto you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray this morning, let me have this breakfast every day with you, so that I will have new dews in my life every day, new blessings, new energy, and I shall rise up like an eagle. I will soar with you. In the most precious name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen.